Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, one and all, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Okay, I think I'm on the air now. There is something going on with Blog Talk Radio that is causing all kinds of problems. And you know what it is? It has to do with Skype. And you know what happened today with Skype? If you're watching the George Zimmerman trial, you saw George Zimmerman trial get punked with Skype. Yes, that's right. Apparently there was a college professor who called in and was trying to do his testimony via Skype. And he didn't block his Skype account, so everybody was calling in on Skype, and they finally had to switch it to cell phone, which is exactly what I just did just now. I was starting my show, there were no problems, and then all of a sudden I got a big window that said, you've been hung up on, or something obnoxious like that, and so that's why the dead air for just a few moments. But let's go to, I hope I can hear you, Cheryl, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, good, I can hear you. Thank you for bearing with us. We already have a bunch of people in chat room. Thank you. There was about 2 minutes of dead air. And amazingly, I did not have a nervous breakdown. I'll save that for later. But, Cheryl, I was just saying part of the problem today with Blog Talk, why I wasn't on the air immediately, was the Skype connection. I used Skype to call into Blog Talk, and it kept disconnecting me. And I tried it one more time, and when as soon as I got connected, it said, you're going live on the air, and boom, I was live, started talking, disconnected. Now, I think it's the karma in the air because of what has happened in the Zimmerman trial. Now, that college professor was trying to testify today in the George Zimmerman trial, and he forgot to block his Skype account. You know, I believe you can block it so people can't talk or can't call you, and he forgot. And he just kept getting interrupted. It was a total disaster. I don't even remember what he was.
His address right out there.
Right. Everything. Yep. It was a disaster. What was he testifying? He was testifying about the college courses that George took. Was that what he was trying to do?
Yeah, he basically was saying it was an online course, so he didn't have, you know, visual classroom with George all the time, but he certainly had a mock crime scene that students were able to come to, and George participated in that. You know, basically, it was like I told y'all last night, it was a complete disaster to call these two professors, because one, they can't testify to anything about the incident. That's number one. Number two, they can't testify to what George studied in the textbook that they didn't cover in class. Well, what they essentially did, especially with the first professor that is the captain in the Army and is, a JAG prosecutor, he gave them the best education ever on self-defense.
Oh, my gosh.
He became the best defense witness that they had so far, and they had some good ones. Because he went in great detail saying if it's dark and raining, of course your fear is going to be heightened. If you're attacked, absolutely it's going to be heightened. And he gave basically the exact same scenario that I gave in one of our interviews together, and that was, if I start the fight and I shove you and you pull a knife on me, I can still stop the threat of having great bodily harm or death being done to me.
Right.
So all of this garbage about whether he got out of the car and whether he pursued him and does that mean aggression doesn't matter. If they can't prove that George hit him first and that Trayvon was delivering these bodily injuries, then he had every right to do what he did under the law. And again, let me be very clear. I am not engaging in who acted correctly. I am engaging in what we can prove. And one of the hardest things to do in my business is what you know and what you can prove is not always the same thing.
Amen to that. Absolutely.
But
so here we have another day. Go ahead.
And keep in mind, every expert medical person so far says Trayvon had no injury other than the gunshot wound and a little scrape on his finger. That was it. Mm-hmm. Then clearly we know who was hurting who.
Right. It seems, you know, here's the thing, Cheryl. We're talking with Cheryl McCollum. I forgot to give you the proper introduction. My apologies.
Cheryl
McCollum from the Cold Case Investigative Research Institute. We're talking about the George Zimmerman trial that is going on right now. And it's not even a trial. It's just an embarrassment. But today, like you said, it was an incredible day for the defense.
Mm-hmm.
We know it's now Friday. There is court in session, from what I understand. Does the prosecution have anybody else? Is there some big surprise waiting around the corner?
Okay. Again, I don't know how to make this any more simple than to say the defense has been done. They've been
mm-hmm.
done for days. And again, all they did today was make their case worse. So now the jury understands, oh, so Zimmerman could shoot him. Okay, doesn't matter
mm-hmm.
if he was the stalker or the aggressor. It doesn't matter, which we've already covered.
Right.
Then
so,
they learned, Tricia, that there was no evidence that George fired the weapon. Well, that's
mm-hmm.
not even under contention. He said he shot him, but there's no DNA and no fingerprint on the gun, which the obvious translation is, well, that's why Trayvon's isn't, because of the humidity, because of the
mm-hmm.
rain. And that's what they're there's your reasonable doubt.
Well, that's a very good point, because that was the big thing that the big question that people were raising. Well, you know, George's fingerprints have to be on there, so why aren't Trayvon's? Well, if nobody's fingerprints are on there or there's no DNA, then that's it. It's because of the humidity.
Well,
it's because of the
DNA.
Rain.
And that's the thing. There was DNA. But one
mm-hmm.
sample is George. Another sample is George. And then a couple of them, there wasn't enough to identify, and you couldn't include or exclude anybody. So now
mm-hmm.
we're back to the Patsy Ramsey handwriting. Remember? I can't exclude her as offer. Remember? Okay, so
mm-hmm.
now you're just getting to some scientific jargon, when the reality is he doesn't know. And then he had to admit, the scientists had to admit on the stand that the way he cut the sample, he could have damaged Trayvon's DNA.
DNA. Oh, my gosh.
So we know that George pulled the trigger. We know it. So if there's no evidence there, could other evidence have been washed away? Of course.
Mm-hmm. That's how it works. It's a very simple explanation. Will you be absolutely shocked?
Again.
Well, will you be absolutely shocked, Cheryl, if they don't find him not guilty?
I don't know that I'll be shocked, because let's talk about, again, O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
Juries
Casey
sometimes
Anthony.
Go into a situation already with their mind made up.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, it doesn't matter if you have a videotape of the person, you know, doing the illegal stuff. They're
mm-hmm.
not going to find him guilty. So there's no way to know what's in their minds and in their heart. With that said, if they go by the law, there's no way to convict him. There's
mm-hmm.
no evidence. And again, I understand the emotion. And when they put his Fulton up, which is about the only person left that they could,
mm-hmm.
again, she wasn't there. She doesn't know what happened to him. And she
mm-hmm.
can't go out of her frame, because if she says anything about he was such a good boy, then she's opened the door. And they're going to show that he wasn't. And she can't say that he would never hurt anybody. She knows that's not true. We all know it's
mm-hmm.
not true. So what can she possibly say?
Nothing, and they would be foolish to call her.
She can't talk about why he was up there, because if
mm-hmm.
she talks about why he was up there, she's opened the door. Why put her through it? She's
well,
been
they're
there
desperate.
All day, every day.
Yeah, they're desperate. Who knows what the prosecution will do? Our good friend Michael in Minnesota is here, and I know Michael is bursting with good questions that I haven't thought of. So, Michael, what would you like to ask Cheryl about the George Zimmerman trial?
Well, first I'd like to say hello, Cheryl, and hello, Trish, and hello everyone
Michael.
In the chat room.
How are you, dear?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, another day. I tell you, I couldn't quite believe it. But, Cheryl, You're bringing up a very good point, and I was too late to post on the Web Sleuths forum because by the time I posted, they closed the chat room like 2 minutes after I posted. But it seems to me, from what I can gather and from what I understand about trials, the only way to reach a conclusion in a trial is based on the evidence presented. And you have to remove all of these personal beliefs as far as I don't believe Trayvon jumped him, I don't believe. All we have heard so far is evidence to the contrary that he in fact did jump George, and it's credible since it's been repeated, and there's nothing to refute that. Now, so am I wrong in my assessment, or is that how you see it?
No, that's exactly right. I mean, I've said for what now, a week? This thing's over. There's nobody left to call. All the star witnesses have failed. They have called, six people that weren't even there? Oh, and here's the other thing. Let's go back a little more. A lot of this is implied, and we talked about that. You're going to kind of float something out there so that, you know, jury will absorb it and not even realize they've done so. One thing that happened today, my car literally almost went off the road. When the professor, you know, you got to love him, but here he is, articulate, strong, serving his country, African-American, college professor, knows law, is an attorney. This should be awesome for the prosecution.
Absolutely.
As he's getting into the witness box, he looks over and says, "Hey, George, how are you?" "What? What just happened? You just made
He said, "Hello,
human.
George, how are you?"
He
said, "Hey, George, how are you?" He acknowledged him like
he was his friend. Oh, my gosh. He acknowledged him. Now, wait a minute. This is an African-American man that knew George before. He's not mad at him. He doesn't resent him. He's not going after him. And he just explained to the jury why George acted correctly.
Do you think the prosecution, are they just putting on rose-colored glasses and not admitting how terribly they are truly doing? I mean, you would think they would go back every day and say, okay, tomorrow we're not going to let this happen again. Who do we have? What do we do? And every day
they
it just seems to get worse. Well, I mean, but
Trisha,
what
they
are
got
they
nothing,
saying? But what are
they
saying
nobody.
To each other? What,
I
mean,
I'll tell
aren't
what they ought
like,
to be saying. I'll tell what they ought to be saying. They ought to be saying, "I hope we don't get disbarred because it looks like we're deliberately throwing this thing." I'm not even joking. I know I joke a lot. I'm dead serious right now.
Really?
You're going to call six people that weren't at the scene, irrelevant, have nothing to do with it. I don't care what George studied. And like I told you last night, the fact that that man studied criminal justice, if he really grasped it, if he really understood it, he would invoke his rule. Give me an attorney. I ain't taking your polygraph, and I ain't talking to you, and I ain't walking you back through the scene so you can video it, and I'm not writing a statement. George didn't do that. So don't tell me what a criminal justice scholar he is. It's a joke. And furthermore, you're going to call a guy who said that George wanted to go on a ride-along, along with hundreds of other people, and he asked to do that one time. If I were O'Mara, I would have followed up and said to either one of the professors, "Do you encourage your students to do that?" Trisha, I've required my students in law enforcement management and patrol operations to do a ride-along. You can't do patrol operations without getting in a squad car. Absolutely.
Right.
That was
the
one question. Yes, I require George to do it. Thank you. Again, George is not a wannabe. He did a ride-along once. He filled out one application.
I just want to know, and I keep harping on this, but I just want to know what they're saying to each other. Are they looking at each other and going, "We are the biggest idiots in the world"? Are they blaming each other? Are they pointing fingers? Or, as you say, Cheryl, are they saying, "Please, dear God, don't let us be disbarred"? This is such a humiliation.
I can't fathom what's going through their head, and I kind of even told you last night, who sits in a room 2 weeks in and says, "Let's call the best friend of the defendant"? Let's call two teachers that weren't there. Let's call a crime analyst that wasn't there. Let's call a medical expert that didn't look at either one of them, not George or Trayvon.
Cheryl, what's your impression of West? as an attorney. I find his delivery so boring. I think his questions are real good, and I think he does a good job, but I find him as boring almost, not quite, as nermy. And I find...
Let me tell you what he did. Let's go way back day one. Do you remember how phenomenal Mr. Guy was in his opening?
Mm-hmm.
He was fantastic. He drew you in. He made it emotional. He made it just all about, you know, Trayvon. And he, you know, he just, it was so just hauntingly beautiful the way he spoke.
Yes,
I was,
it was
all in. I'm like, let's get it. You know what I mean? Let's handle
it. Absolutely. He did a beautiful
job. And then Wes
job.
Gets up, and what does he do?
Knock, knock, knock,
joke. That was
And you
terrible.
Know what? Not, well, wait a minute. It's a little evil genius because not a soul was talking about how phenomenal Mr. Guy was. Not one soul across this country was talking about Trayvon Martin. Not one. It might be the most brilliant thing of this whole week.
I never thought of that.
I didn't either.
Here, oh, my gosh.
Now, that's
so,
what you paid me for, Tricia.
Oh, my. I'm just,
it was absolutely genius. Not
but
a soul.
But since that day, how do you feel about West and his delivery?
West is almost a silent partner at a business. He wants you to listen to the person in that box. Because keep in mind, these aren't his witnesses. So all he's doing is systematically tearing them down. Don't look at me. Don't listen to me. Listen to her. She said she couldn't get anything off that weapon. Okay? She also said this. She also said that. So he'll piece that together later. I don't think it's about him. I think his delivery is a little more Columbo. Like, you get it and you hear it, and it leaves you going, isn't this the prosecution's witness? Then why are they saying George is right? George is truthful. George acted appropriately. George did the right thing. Everybody believed George. We didn't have any probable cause. What? And keep in mind, all this has been said, and they haven't put up the first witness yet on their side. When their witnesses get up, Katie, bar the door.
Now, I did hear an interview on CNN last night with Mark O'Mara, and they said they're definitely, because the question was posed because some of the legal analysts had said he doesn't need to say a thing.
Right.
But he said, no, we're definitely putting on a defense. I mean, George Zimmerman deserves a defense, and we are going to present one. So I was really glad to hear that. Anderson Cooper did a great interview with him because we had speculated even on your show, Trish, that they didn't really have anything to refute so far since we haven't heard any evidence that refutes George's testimony. But anyway, so until we hear that, we don't have all the facts, so we should, but... So far, I haven't heard anything that would lead me to believe anything other than George's position. Yeah.
Exactly. And it's like we talked about last night. So you're telling me he's under no obligation to call 911, but he does. He parts, not illegal. He gets out of his car, not illegal. He's asked repeatedly, give me an address. I need a number. You can't just tell me the... you know, clubhouse, I've got to have a street and a number. He's told that over and over. And I guarantee you, the defense has counted them.
Now,
to get the flashlight.
Cheryl, you've talked about this judge being concerned about appellate issues. Isn't allowing George's school history and the financial aspect, he wasn't accepted to be a police officer because of... bad credit or something crazy. Why is that all relevant, but yet none of Trayvon, the supposed he is the victim, but he was the aggressor. Why isn't his past aggressive behavior relevant in this? I can't wrap my head around that.
Because it goes to their theory, and they have every right to put up their theory, and their theory is he's a wannabe. Now, the reason we can't bring up Trayvon is because, again, when George saw him, his past, his background, it didn't play a part at all. He couldn't have possibly known any of that. So the fact that he was suspended, the fact... Go ahead.
Couldn't that go to his Trayvon's behavior, though?
Exactly.
Trayvon can act aggressive because he's been aggressive in the past. Wouldn't that go toward that theory?
It would if he had been convicted in a court of law of burglary or something like that, because you can use it as a similar transaction.
Right.
But just because you get in trouble at school, they're not going to let that in. Right decision. But by them saying, hey, he was studying criminal justice, he had in-depth knowledge of the law, he knew exactly what to say to law enforcement, he knew exactly how to play this thing. Again, if he knew exactly how to play it, he would have never taken a polygraph. He would never, ever be on videotape. He would have never, ever written his own statement. He would have called his attorney.
But that tells me that he had nothing to fear. He was very confident in the story he was telling, and that was really
home
for me. When
let me be really clear. I appreciate everything you just said, but I want to bring everybody back in the real world. In the real world, even if you have nothing to fear, you need an attorney with something this serious.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just telling you, there's not a defense attorney in this country that would have said, yeah, go ahead and take the polygraph. I'll be there in a little while. Go ahead and tell them your side of it. No. And that's the reason in Miranda, they say the very first thing they tell you, you have the right to remain silent.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you say can and will be used against you, George. Okay? That's some of the best advice you're ever going to hear. And what you ought to hear is, don't talk until you've talked with an attorney.
I think all innocent people, though, would want to talk.
They would. But I'm telling you, innocent people need to make sure they're covered and make sure that they get the best advice before. Because what you're basically doing, look at it this way. If you work for a corporation and you go to HR with a complaint, HR works for Coca-Cola, not you. They will tell you, oh, this is your human resources department. No, that's Delta's department. That's Home Depot's department. It ain't your department. So when you talk to a police officer, they're not on your side, so to speak. So
and let me just remind you,
if he was a scholar, he wouldn't have done that. But go ahead. Well, yeah.
I was just going to say something, Michael. Richard Reese was really, really honest with the police in the Elizabeth Smart case. He told them everything, and they arrested him and accused him anyway, and accused him of doing it anyway, and pretty much questioned him literally till his head exploded and he died. And that's the biggest regret that Angela Reese has, is that they didn't get a lawyer first. But he was so anxious to tell him he was innocent, because he was so innocent, he thought it was ridiculous. He didn't need a lawyer. And look what happened. You know, that's a perfect example of what Cheryl's talking about.
But
in
the
Elizabeth Smart case.
Person watching, even if it's a dramatization in a movie or television, the minute someone invokes their right to counsel, a person becomes suspicious of them. And
well, that's true.
So it seems like a no-win situation. I can't.
Well, the only thing I can give you as an analogy is the Ramses.
Yes.
Smartest thing they ever did, and they got each got their own attorney.
Yep.
Yeah, but
JonBenet Ramsey
around them still persists. I mean, so
well, it
does. But guess where they're not? They're not in prison.
Right. That's exactly right.
Which may be
where
they need to be.
I agree. If I was arrested for something and I was innocent, it would be really hard for me not to just blurt out everything that happened, but boy, I'm just going to sit back and I'm going to think about Angela Reese sobbing as she has the memory and the ashes of her husband, and that's all she has
Please keep in mind, when you invoke your rule, doesn't mean you don't talk at all. That just means you say, hey, you know, Holly Hughes, let me just run this past you because this is what happened. And then she will go with you to give your statement. She'll go with you to the scene to make the video. It's not like you're not going to help. Come on, y'all know what side I'm on. But I'm saying you're not going to get yourself in a situation where they say, well, there's inconsistencies, you know, or he's just flat lying. Because, again, if you read some of these blogs, I mean, you would think that George was on a killing spree. That's not what has happened.
I
and, you know, it's funny because Because I try. I mean, I try to read so much, and some of it, I mean, it's so vile. I can't even finish reading it. It's just so ugly.
But it's all based on supposition, not a fact in evidence, and that's what I'm
saying.
Some
of it is based on flat lies. The police department's racist. Zero evidence that's true. George is a racist. So far, zero evidence. You know, it is on and on and on, honey. So, and again, if I ask somebody, tell me at what point George Zimmerman broke the law, that has been proven. Well, he got out of the car. Not illegal. Well, he had a gun. He took it. Not illegal. I mean, what do you want him to do? He did everything by the book. He wasn't out there with an illegal weapon hunting for somebody. That's not what happened. And again, the defense is going to get up, y'all, and they're going to go minute by minute, if not second by second. And they're going to say, from 6:30 to 6:45, he wasn't home. Why not? From 6:45 to 7:09, he remained outside. From 7:09 to 7:14, he hid and double backed. From 7:14 to 7:16, when the shot is heard, he could have still made it home. He was 70 yards. Come on. And again, it is so tragic, and it is so heartbreaking, but there's a reason he didn't go home at 6:45. There was a reason he didn't go home at 7:09. There was a reason when he ran or skipped, he didn't get in the house. George Zimmerman couldn't have caught him if he tried. There's a reason that Dee Dee said he was out of breath. There was a reason that Dee Dee said he stopped running. There was a reason Trayvon didn't call the police. There was a reason Trayvon didn't call his dad. There's a reason Trayvon didn't go in the house and lock the door.
Or call 911.
He didn't call the police.
No, a true person scared for their life. If someone was following me and I was talking to Trish on the phone, I would say, I got to go. There's someone following me. And I would hang up and call 911 and say, this is really scaring the shit out of me. You know?
And if your best friend, Trish, was really worried about that, Michael, she'd call you back more than twice and figure out what happened to you before 24 hours or 48 hours.
Mm-hmm.
If your dad was really concerned about you at 7:30 and 8:30 and 9:30 and 10:30 and 11:30 and 12:30 and 1:30 and 2:30 and 3:30 and 4:30, you see where I'm going. So dad doesn't even call the police till 7:30 the next morning. So let's talk about whose behavior is consistent with being outside the bounds of the law. You got a 17-year-old kid that's been in this neighborhood for a few days. He doesn't live there. He's not known to anybody. But he already knows the cut. All right. He already knows, hey, I'm bouncing. And Dad said, yeah, I thought he went to a movie. You thought he went to a movie by himself and without a vehicle and without being in walking distance of a theater. I don't want to call that man a liar, but there's not a theater within walking distance. In the rain by himself, and you leave little man at home, and little man doesn't call and say, hey, Mom, Trayvon didn't come back with the Skittles, and we were going to watch the ball game, and I'm worried. It's 10 o'clock. And
okay,
you,
now,
I can prove, wait a minute, Michael, I can prove Daddy didn't even go look for him, because one thing you would think he would do is go out the back door where the cut through is, and he would have seen crime scene tape.
Right.
Now, Tricia, what do you? I just happened to look in the chat room, and we have people really mad. There's a Too Curious that says, this is so slanted pro-Zim, lots of non-fact. Ciao. Y'all, I can't
listen
to this
crap.
Now, can we, there we go. Now, this is what I asked on the website. Okay, what facts does Too Curious have in this case that can sway, persuade us? I'm open to hear it, but I haven't
heard one fact. Just say one thing?
Yeah.
I am so pro-prosecution. I have spent my life working with them for 30 years.
I know. I know you are. That's what's so...
I am so frustrated about this case, because where are they? And again, I have worked with Nancy Grace and Holly Hughes and Alex Manning and Jada Hutsmith. I've worked with some of the best. I get that. But I have never And I don't know who this particular person is, but they ought to be mad too. Because if you believe that George Zimmerman created this whole scenario to commit murder in the second degree, and your state in Florida has put up zero evidence, zero of evil mind, zero that he's stalking, zero that he was the aggressor. Not a little, not some here and there, zero. And as somebody that has sat at that table for years, trial after trial after trial, case after case after case, I have never in my entire life seen a weaker case. This is not pro-Zimmerman. This is pure shock.
Well, that's it. What you're doing, Cheryl, is you're presenting the reality, and I see this a lot, where if you present somebody with the actual hardcore reality facts and they don't want to believe it, they'll call it crap and leave. I'm open to it, too. Show me something that points to George.
Yeah, that's all I ask. I want to know what they know that or think they know that we
that
don't
I'm missing.
Know. Yeah,
me
but
too.
Here's another question for her. As a prosecutor, put yourself in their shoes. Your lead investigator said he believed George. George was truthful. What do you do with that?
Yeah.
Your own department with a white chief and a black chief didn't arrest him. Neither one did. You've got a police officer saying, I had no probable cause to arrest him.
Now, someone mentioned Trayvon was acting in self-defense. Cheryl, what do you say to that?
It very well may be. The sad reality is, again, what you know in your gut and what you believe in your heart is not something we can prove. And here's the reason why. If Trayvon was standing somewhere and George approaches him and, like, bucks up on him like he's fixing to attack him, absolutely Trayvon Martin could punch him in the nose. The sad thing is we have not one witness to that. That is a theory. It's a theory only. That's it. We have Dee Dee that says, Trayvon said, get off me. Okay. But we don't know if he actually said get off of me or step off or F off. We don't know what he said.
No, her story hasn't been.
She lied about everything else. She's not credible.
Yeah.
So you can't lie about eight things and tell the truth about six things and be taken seriously. So we're done with her. When George is told by the investigator, hey, George, we think we got the whole thing on videotape. What does George say? Oh, thank God.
Good.
Yeah, I hope so.
And in the police report, very elated. What do you do with that to the person that thinks this is slanted? Because that's what you're fighting. These aren't windmills. This is hard evidence. This isn't circumstantial. This happened.
Right. You're right. And there's the one thing I've learned, and it's taken me a long time to accept this, that no matter what, there will be people that when you present them with the facts, they don't want to hear it, and they will not present any facts on their side. They'll just call it baloney and leave.
Can't talk about facts and about the truth, then we're not going to get anywhere. Because the reality is, if this man goes to jail, it's because people acted improperly.
Exactly.
Because so far, they have no case. They don't.
And this is not to say that it's right that he shot and killed Trayvon, but we haven't heard any evidence to the contrary. We don't.
Tricia, I have talked to you for a year. Have you ever one time heard me say who I think was right or wrong?
No.
No. I've said both people acted within their legal right.
Exactly.
I've said it's a perfect storm. I said there was a very short window. A year ago, I told you there was a two-minute period of time. It's going to come down to those 2 minutes. We're still at that
two minutes.
And nobody saw it. So sadly, tragically, we have one witness left, and that's George Zimmerman. So he gets the final word.
And the benefit of the doubt. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, so far, there's reasonable doubt all over it, and so far, the preponderance of evidence is going to George.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
it is.
Exactly. Now, how damaging would it be if Cheryl Fulton should take the stand and claim that she can identify Trayvon's screams when we have the eyewitness from the patio that said it was George, and when we have George's words saying, no, I asked for, was screaming for help, and no one would help me. Does the jury then have to decide who do we believe, or do they?
Okay, their own witness, the greatest audio person in the world, says you can't tell. This is a primal, and again, this is something Trisha and I talked about a year ago, these primal screams. She's never heard Trayvon do that. George's mother's probably never heard him do it. It comes from absolute fear that I'm fixing to be killed. The only person that was in that scenario was George Zimmerman.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Trayvon wasn't being hurt at the time the screams were coming. Mm-hmm. He didn't ask the guy that came outside for help, did he? Only George did. When the guy came outside, why didn't Trayvon stop hitting him? Why didn't Trayvon get up and run? Because he wasn't finished.
Because he wasn't done.
And all
of
these things, the defense is coming back. And your person that thinks we're slanted and the other person that thinks we're racist, first of all, you don't know anything about me. You don't know anything about my husband or what my children look like. You don't know.
Right.
So, again, you're just saying things because you don't want it to be true. And I get that.
Yes, they don't want it to be true. That's exactly right.
And
they
don't
want
it to
be
true.
I don't either.
I have a son. I have a son. And he loves a hoodie. He loves to walk in the rain. What am I supposed to do? I mean, I can't lock him in the basement any more than Miss Fulton could. But the bottom line is, there's a way. And I will say this. Miss Fulton, she came to Atlanta, and she gave a speech at a local high school at Tri-Cities. And in that speech, she was very honest about what young men are wearing and how it looks. I don't know if the defense knows anything about that. I don't know if they're going to bring it up, but apparently she went all over this country saying the same thing. And basically her mantra was, stop hiding your identity, don't be somewhere you don't belong, and don't look like you're doing something. Now, I'm sorry, in a hoodie, in the rain, in the dark, walking between houses, in front of a house that you don't belong to, which was Frank Tassie's.
Right.
I mean, you can call somebody a racist, but you know it's true in your heart. You wouldn't put your 14-year-old daughter in stilettos, in a leather miniskirt, in a bustier, and put her on Bankhead and say she can dress this way if she wants to. You wouldn't do it. So you want to sag your pants and, you know, you want to put on the hoodie and you want to walk like that in the dark, then okay. But you can't get mad if people cross the street or lock their doors.
Or are afraid of you, right, exactly.
Because the reality is, if somebody wants to rob a bank, a hoodie's a good choice. That is why banks, and you can go to several that have the signs out front that say no hoodies or sunglasses.
Right. That's not
racist.
My bank says that too.
That's just
good
security. You're not TSA looking that way.
Right. Yeah, so you can't board a plane looking like that. So
no, ma'am.
Okay, here's Trisha. Are you watching the chat?
Yes, I am.
Yep.
I'm watching
Where's
the chat.
Let's put Montjoy. She's one of our biggest critics.
Where is the
evidence that says that Trayvon couldn't be yelling, Cheryl? I answer that. We had the neighbor, what was his name, that saw
Daddy
George on
him.
The bottom, that looked to him and was yelling help.
Yes.
His
but
daddy
what is the evidence
said
that
it
says,
wasn't him.
His father said it wasn't him.
That's one. Two, he was not being injured at the time. So what was he afraid of? That's logic. Why would he be screaming for his life and screaming for help when he wasn't being hurt? Why would George beg somebody, help me? The guy saw George and said, I'm going to go call the police. And George said, I don't need you to call the police. George is the only one asking for help. And again, you're giving so much credit to George Zimmerman. He is not that smart that he knows to tell somebody, hey, that was me screaming. And again, he didn't know he wasn't on video. And he didn't know there weren't at least the 11 witnesses that they called.
Hold on, I got to type something. You guys continue to talk.
Well, I'm just, I really want there to be peace on earth here. And I even look at the chat room discussions and it upsets me because, again, these people have such strong convictions on the contrary. And I want to address every one of their concerns, but there's no way we can, Cheryl, isn't
but
that
But they've
what
got
about?
To tell us what the facts are that make them believe it.
Well,
give
one
me
of
one
them,
fact that proves George wasn't the one screaming. They can't.
No, I don't think so either.
George was on his back. George was being injured. You know, and people are all over the internet saying, oh, those were self-inflicted. Really? Really? He somehow held Trayvon Martin in place while he injured the back and the front of his head? Okay. All right.
Now, for some reason, they thought in what you were saying that you were criticizing him for wearing a hoodie. And now what I heard you saying
is
it's the perfect item to wear in the rain. You weren't criticizing that, Cheryl.
Well, let me just say something. This is what I go through every day on the forum. It's
right.
You say, okay, Trayvon's mother said, hey, don't wear a hoodie. Don't hide who you are. Oh, well, then you just are saying it's okay that Trayvon was killed. I mean, it's this ridiculous leap that makes me crazy and want to unplug Web Sleuth when people start talking like that. Nobody is saying Trayvon deserved to die. Nobody. And it pisses me off when people in the chat room say that. So knock it off. Okay, go ahead.
I mean, I've actually said the opposite even on national TV. But again, I don't think we need to give any credence to those types of arguments either, because you can't argue with somebody that is never going to see the facts and or
right.
the truth. Never, ever would I say anyone, and you can go back and pull any tape I've ever been on, that anybody deserves to die.
Mm-hmm.
Never. I've never even talked about the death penalty. That is not my gig. I am telling you, his own mother said it across this country. I don't know if they're going to bring that up. I don't even know if she's going to be on the stand. I wouldn't put her on the stand.
That's opening the door to his past behavior, because all she can talk about is what a great kid he was, which would open the door. Am I correct?
And again,
mm-hmm.
she wasn't there. What can she add about the actual incident? Nothing. Nothing. There's zero. He didn't call her. He didn't live with her at the time. So, I mean, we've done everything we can to protect him. Don't bring in his schoolwork. Don't bring in his past. Don't bring in his Facebook. Don't bring in his text messages. We've done everything to preserve that jury's opinion of him until they're told about him. Okay, so here's another fact that I would like for somebody to tell me. Why would they put a picture out of a 12-year-old instead of a 17-year-old? Why would
exactly.
they not parade his friends everywhere? Where are his teachers? Where are his coaches? Why didn't they put on the PR campaign that y'all all think exists that does not?
Mm-hmm.
Good point, Cheryl. Someone brought up something, and I think it's really something we as a country should consider. Rather than arming all of our populace with guns that have the ability to kill, I believe we should be arming people with stun guns. Isn't that a far better idea? Immobilize
I think that'd
the
be
threat.
Much better.
That's
well,
a great
I'm
idea.
I'm all for less than lethal. I don't know why we can't buy the ones that have the beanbags and let everybody have a beanbag or do.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you
exactly.
don't want to put a stun gun in somebody's hand and then they shoot somebody with a pacemaker and kill them anyway.
Oh.
I mean, you're opening up this whole deal. I am not for weakening the Second Amendment at all
mm-hmm.
in any way. It was the second one. Past speech and religion, you got a firearm. It's important that this country can defend individuals as well as our neighbors, as well as our country,
mm-hmm.
period. And the reason the whole you know, Tassel idea came to be is you have a right to protect what's yours, and that includes your body. Well, then they said, well, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense because you can get raped in your house, but you can also get raped in the parking lot of the local grocery store. Well, that's right. Well, then you can defend yourself there, too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it doesn't matter where George was. It doesn't matter who started it. And I'm going to tell the person again, this is the law. This is not me saying, hey, this is the right thing. George should be a hero. Come on now. You
I've
have not
never
heard
said George should be a hero.
No, I've never said it. I'm saying
I know. I've always said that when it comes
true.
Right down to it, George is responsible. He was the adult. He had the gun. And
that has been your mantra since you and I talked from the beginning.
Since the beginning. But this trial, the evidence that the prosecution is putting on is embarrassing. And it's
not
like...
It's
awful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Awful. Michael, what were you going to say?
Well, the whole thing is just because this lone traveler keeps writing, and I said, what is your evidence? I mean, I just...
Mm-hmm.
I wish people could explain to us what they base these... Their ideas. It's no different than the Jody Arias' innocence site that says,
no,
I'm not reading a thing. Somebody wrote, well, why did the screams end the minute the gunshot went off? Well, the threat was gone.
The threat stopped.
Yeah.
The beating stopped.
Right. The beating stopped. Exactly.
Gosh,
and
exactly.
Think about it. The gun might have scared him a little bit, you know?
I think the gun probably scared the hell out of him. You know,
between those buildings, it echoed a little bit. He might have been shocked
mm-hmm.
again. But here's the thing, for the people that are really, you know, not seeing it, here's
mm-hmm.
another question that I have. Would you want to be tried for any crime, pick it, when the two star witnesses are not credible, four people weren't even there, another person said you were truthful, you were in the right. Another person explained academically how you acted correctly, never had a problem with you. Another person basically gave no testimony, who cares? You're talking about an online class, blah, blah, you got
mm-hmm.
nothing. Another person says you put an application somewhere. Another person says you wanted to do a ride-along. Do you want to be tried based on that?
Exactly. Put yourself as the person being prosecuted with this weak evidence. If we allowed this to continue in all of the cases, can you imagine what a mockery our justice system would be? It's a totally different thing if it's you and they are presenting this weak-ass case with absolutely nothing. And, it'd be a totally different situation then. But you know what? Don't call me. Don't tell me that I'm not listening or that my mind is made up. Don't do that. That makes me crazy because
that's
it never
feel,
has
Trish.
Been made up.
That's exactly how I feel. I'm begging to see evidence to the contrary. I am
Michael,
not pro-George.
Michael, it ain't there. Listen to me. The two of y'all put your name on the line, your reputation on the line, and you are on air. This person doesn't even have the guts to call. We're done. Give them no
mm-hmm.
credibility. Just forget them. Call in. Give us your real name. Don't hide behind a computer in some moniker that you made up while you're shopping at Walmart. Freaking
mm-hmm.
call me, and let's have a real discussion based on the true facts that have been presented by the state, which
you're
is
right.
arguably the best evidence we have because they put a year to put this thing together. But you explain to me why Angela Corey circumvented the grand jury. Explain that to me.
Mm-hmm.
Explain to me why she put a case together for second-degree murder when the police department for 44 days said there's no probable cause. When veteran police officers say, I got nothing but his story and the evidence lines up that he's telling the truth. If you
mm-hmm.
want to call and talk to me and explain to me, hey, Cheryl, you know what you missed? Because, frankly, Renee Rockwell and Holly Hughes and Alex Manning do that all the time. I'm around
right.
smarter people than me all the time. That is how I like it. You have heard
mm-hmm.
me say 10,000 times, I like to be the dumbest person in the room. I do,
mm-hmm.
because that way we can actually get some things done. I wasn't afraid to put Sherry Jefferson on your show. Yes, she's smarter than me.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't I lucky? Because I get to work with
yes.
her. I get to
she's
say,
wonderful.
Hey, Sherry, what do you think? And then I sit back and take credit. That's my life, man.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all good. But you can't call and tell us anything, can you?
Right.
No.
No.
So just,
Trish,
just,
are the
know,
lines lighting up at
your,
all? Is anyone calling?
Let me get the number. Let me get the number out. It's area code 760-825-0933. Call, tell us your real name and where you live. Everyone knows where I live. And then tell us why you think that that George Zimmerman is guilty of murder and the prosecution's case is good. And I don't think we're going to get any takers. That's a good point, Cheryl. I never think about that. I've put my name out there for years and everything, and it is true. I've seen a lot of people really hide behind the computer, but I give them that opportunity, too. That's why I have the chat room. You don't have to have
no,
your real name in the chat
that,
room.
No, I
respect
that.
Yeah.
But you can't use that as a shield when you're going to come at me and you and Michael and everybody
that's
else.
True.
Just stop afraid. My reputation is
right.
on the line. You
mm-hmm.
should have heard how I, you know, got the students ready to be on your show. And I told them right quick, nobody's heard of you. They've heard of me. Don't embarrass me.
Right.
<I'm telling> you.
Exactly.
You know?
They were so cute. Those students were just so adorable.
They were living off of that. They're all African-American, by the way, my entire college.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying, throw them out there. And they have, you know, the first week or two, oh, yeah, they were hot. You know, they didn't
mm-hmm.
want to hear what, you know, Mac had to say. But then as it went on and I gave them the same opportunity, please help me. Please
mm-hmm.
tell me that I'm not going to watch this every day and just get more and more sickened because, again, this is close to a false arrest. This is close
mm-hmm.
to losing
somebody. They should
somebody
have waited till they found the smoking gun or something.
And
yeah.
I even said that on national TV. I said, what's the rush? George Zimmerman's not going anywhere. You want to
mm-hmm.
talk about somebody that can't hide? They took his passport. He can't rent a room. He can't get a hotel room. Where's he going? They know him in Idaho. They know him in Nebraska. They know him in Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
He can't run.
Right.
Take your time and do it
yeah.
right. In the defense,
mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, O'Mara knows what he's doing. And when he asked for more time and they were like, no, 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 we're going forward. Okay. So that means you can't come back and go, well, we had to rush and get it together because Angela Corey.
Right.
Oh, no, no, buddy. You had a chance, and you
mm-hmm.
said no. And that's, again, why I'm telling you, all these other families that have had loved ones killed the last 2 years that still have not gone to trial, that's not right.
No,
and
it's
yeah,
not. You're
I understand
right.
it is not okay that a 17-year-old is laying dead in the rain and his body is tested for drugs and George is not. I get that,
mm-hmm.
and I've said it. Pull my stuff. I've said it. It's not
mm-hmm.
right. However, why aren't we in Chicago, Reverend Al? Why are we not
yes.
in Chicago, Jesse? Come on now.
That Chicago is just, it is a horror story of young
so
black men who are being
who
murdered.
Don't care, because if
right.
you really cared about your community, you would stand
mm-hmm.
right in the middle of Rush Street till something was done, Mr. President.
Yeah, and say, stop killing our young black men. Let's figure this out.
26 people shot in one night, 6 people dead this night, 5 people dead the next night. Over
mm-hmm.
900 young men between the
oh.
ages of 15 and 23. 900. And
that's
we don't
a
hear
war
a thing.
Zone.
And listen to me. Where's the black community? Why aren't their names
know.
On T-shirts? So let's not talk about
know.
Who has a problem. It's not us. And I've said
mm-hmm.
on your show before, Tricia, this is another fact. This is not me being pro anything. White people. Which George Zimmerman is not. White people kill black people 3% of the time. 97%
mm-hmm.
of the time, black on black crime.
Right.
There's your problem that should be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
That's where our energy should go. That is where our focus should be, not in Sanford.
You're right. You're absolutely right. There should be nobody shooting anybody in the real fantasy world that I want to live in. You know, black, white, pink, yellow, green, whatever. We should stop with the damn killing, for God's sakes.
Mm-hmm.
But hold on, you guys check amongst yourselves. I'm going to check the chat room, see if I've scared anybody off by my screaming. I don't think I've yelled like that in years. It felt really good. It really did. So, okay.
Well, I just want to reemphasize to the chat room and anyone listening, I honestly came into this trial knowing a child had been shot, and my heart broke. All I knew was that it happened that a supposed white person or a white man killed a child. And so, you know, I came in with an open mind, but my heart was probably on the side of Trayvon Martin. Obviously, he's the deceased. And so I've listened, and I've been glued to this trial, just like I was the Arias trial. And I haven't heard one thing to support a stance where I can convict George Zimmerman. And it's not that I want to believe him. It's that I haven't heard anything that would cause me to disbelieve him.
And Michael, I'll take that one. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Okay. No, go ahead, Tricia.
I was going to say, I'll take it one step further. I came in thinking George Zimmerman was guilty of at least second-degree murder, and I was furious with him, and I thought he was a racist, and I was just the opposite, Michael. I was convinced. And as I'm going along, I'm like, well, wait a minute. All of this stuff is just not true, you know? And here was this cute little 12-year-old boy that I saw in the picture, and that wasn't true, and it just added up, and now I'm like, this is absolutely, I'm mad at myself for believing the hype, and I'm mad at the prosecution for doing this and for continuing this charade, because that's what it is. Okay, Cheryl, go ahead.
No, I think that was beautifully stated, because all of us were told things that weren't true that added to just how horrible this scenario was. And again,
can the media ever take accountability or be held for inciting this kind of...
George Zimmerman will absolutely sue them. If for nothing else, he's going to sue them for adding the racial slur when it wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question, because you're reporting things that you know are not true. You can't do that.
How can Nancy Reagan, you brought her up a few times, Cheryl, she's still on her show... Well, Nancy Grace. She has George Zimmerman as the neighborhood vigilante who shot down and gunned this man, and there's no facts.
Well, let me be real clear. I haven't brought Nancy up, but you know I love her, and
everybody
in this thing has got their own gig. I have not been on her show since Jodi Arias. I haven't talked with her about Trayvon Martin, and I haven't been vocal on her particular show. I was on HLN and on After Dark, but that, you know, not her HLN show. So here, again, people are going to see this case differently, and they're going to see it differently for sometimes their own personal reasons. But, you know, there's nothing we can do about that. Again, my purpose for being on Trisha's show is not hype. It's not for ratings. It's not for publicity. It's not to get my name out there. It's to systematically go through what do we have, what are the facts, what can we draw from these conclusions, and where do we think the trial's going. And I'm going to stand by what I said almost from day one. It's the worst prosecution show I've ever seen in my life. In my life, and I've been to some courtrooms that were small and, you know, kind of back home type courthouses. This is the weakest, saddest display I have ever seen. And what you're seeing now, see, days ago, the black community was still all about, let's get George. Now, suddenly, this morning, what was happening? The African-American legal pundits, what are they saying? Well, I'll be shocked that they can convict. They can't even say anything good anymore. There's nothing to say, even if you're against George Zimmerman, when you've got a microphone and a TV camera in front of you. It's over. Unless, I can't even imagine what would happen tomorrow. we got, what, the autopsy and Miss Fulton? I mean, they're done. They said they had 8 more witnesses. They went through about 5 or 6 a day.
Well, I think they'll probably wrap up their case Friday. Don't you think that's a good possibility?
Absolutely.
They were going to wrap it up today. The judge said something about staying till they were done if they wanted.
I mean, it's over. And again, the only possible person they can call is something about the autopsy. Well, we already know the answer to that.
Mm-hmm.
Or Ms. Fulton. And again,
right,
she wasn't there. So she can't add to the supposed murder, too. The only thing she can add to is making Trayvon extremely human. But she has to be very careful.
Right.
And my heart
says
breaks
I am,
to have that happen to her.
I know. My heart breaks for her. It really does. My God, that poor woman.
Yeah.
Oh,
and I've said from the beginning, she has been such a champion for every community. She has told everybody, let's let justice do it. We have all the confidence in the world in those 6 women, and let them do their job. I stand by that, too. I just wish the state was doing a better job.
Yeah, well, it would certainly make it less embarrassing, because they're going to have to explain this throughout their through their careers now. They will be known as the people who did this to George Zimmerman. And I think you're right, Cheryl. I think this is going to change the way the media, hopefully this will change the way the media does things, and the media just needs to tell us the truth. Don't slant it. Don't edit it. Just tell us what the hell happened and get it over with, you know?
Well, I thought reporting was supposed to be just the facts without your inflection or your opinion. And I don't know whatever happened to that. That was the days of Walter Cronkite, you know. He shed a tear when he said Kennedy had been assassinated, but otherwise you never saw emotion. The man just reported the facts of the stories. And those days are gone. It's a shame. Headline news is not doing us any justice, I don't think.
Right. I don't think so either. Oh, my gosh. Okay, I'm sitting here sweating. I've knocked over my drink. My dog ran away scared. I've got to do some repair work here. Oh.
Well, I think we've wrapped, don't you? I don't know. I feel bad for the people who think we're one-sided and all that, but again, where's the evidence that they have that we don't is all I want.
Right. Hold on 1 second. Someone is telling me something about ratings. I don't have ratings.
So no callers came after that?
Hold on. Let me check and see. Let me double check. Doesn't look like it. Oh, wait. Here's one. Should we take it?
Yeah, please.
Okay. Let's see.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
Hi, my name is Rudy.
Rudy,
hey, Rudy,
what do you do? You're on live with Trisha's True Crime Radio, Cheryl McCollum, and Michael from Minnesota. What can we do for you?
Well, I was just going to say that you guys got to be looking at the facts on the Zimmerman case, you know. Look at Trayvon. He's a dirty nigger, you know. It's right there in front of us.
Okay, thank you very
much.
There we go. Lovely. Ooh. See, now that's why the African-American community gets angry, and I don't blame them, because of crap like that, you know. And I don't blame him one single bit for getting upset when people say there isn't racism anymore, because there certainly is, and that's proof of it right there.
That was offensive.
Oh, my God. This has just been such a weird day. I can't even tell you. First, they got punked in court by, the people on Skype calling that professor. He didn't have his Skype account blocked.
I kept wondering if they can't.
Oh, Cheryl hung up. Wait. We lost Cheryl. Oh, my gosh. Cheryl, call back in. I'm going to try and call Cheryl real quick. Well, that's okay.
Yeah, I think we're done.
It's over. We're done. Stick a fork in us. We're totally done. Let me just see. Hold on. Oh, boy. Got to get that phone delay. I need a screener. You know, even if we had a screener, it wouldn't matter, because they can make themselves sound, normal, and then boom, they come on the air and they do that. So anyway, I thought that might be a real.
Can we say something about that caller that says where we can't control who calls in and what they say, and please know that's not the viewpoints of Tricia. It's True Crime Radio, and certainly not me, and certainly not Cheryl.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
I don't know. Yes, that was offensive.
That was really offensive. And now there's somebody in the chat room using the N-word, but I've kicked them already. Okay. Anyway. Okay, I think we need to go. In fact, I'm going to read the disclaimer.
Okay,
opinions
good.
Expressed on Trisha's True Crime Radio are those of the hosts and guests, and do remember this. That is their responsibility. Trisha's True Crime Radio is a completely separate entity from WebSleuth.com and ForumsForJustice.org. In other words, if you get upset about something you hear, you can't blame the forums, you can't blame WebSleuth or Forums for Justice. And by the way, we can't control what callers say. This is live. They do not offer a seven-second delay. I wish they did, but they don't. So I like to take callers. I think I would be dishonest if I didn't take callers. So that's why I think it's important we take them. We don't let somebody like that stop us from taking a phone call. Right, Michael?
No, I hope not.
Yeah, it won't. So
it's a shame when
anyway,
it happens, but yeah.
Yeah, it's not going to stop us. So, okay, kids, that's it for tonight. That's it for Trisha's True Crime Radio. Dear Lord in heaven, I don't drink, but I'm going to start tonight. Take care, everybody. It's Trisha's True Crime Radio, where we discuss true crimes and current events, and we always do it with common sense. Good night.
Good night.